This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is Inside Story with Lee Chui Lin and Sharmila Ganesan. Tonight, let's start with a question. When I say the word timah, what comes to mind?
Well, we are asking because a local whiskey brand landed in controversy recently over the name of their product, with some parties seeing a religious connotation to it. So first, we talk about the meaning of the word and where this reaction is coming from. And then we discuss how brands navigate cultural sensitivity in Malaysia.
And as always, we want to hear from you. What do you make of the timah controversy? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. Is 6:07, and let's start at the beginning. So it all began with the launch of a local brand of whiskey called timah, which for those of you who don't speak Bahasa, generally means tin. However, a number of parties took offence to the name, including a portal, negaramerdeka.com, Majlis Perundingan Pertubuhan Islam Malaysia, or MAPIM, and Pekemas Malaysia. And essentially, the controversy focused on the name, which Sharmila, you can explain.
Well, okay, so let's talk about the name and then about the images or the branding, because it's all of a piece of this whole thing, right? Now, apparently the brand name timah, which as you said, is referring to the word tin, insults the Muslim community because it resembles the shortening of the name Fatima, the name of the Prophet's wife. And then, people also honed in on the branding itself because the image on the logo and on the bottle depicts a long bearded man with a skull cap resembling a religious person. Now, to be fair, if we look at the response from the brand, from Timah Whiskey, in a Facebook statement, they clarified that this was misinformation, that according to them, not the fact that it's called Timah basically refers to the fact that it goes back to the tin mining era, and that the man pictured on the bottle is Captain Speedy, who is one of the men who introduced whiskey to this region back then. They did point out that they had never intended to stir up controversy. However, here we are.
Yes, here we are indeed. And leading the charge in some ways. So we named a number of parties earlier who have raised issues with the name. The Consumer Association of Penang has also called on the government to ban it. If we look at what PAS has said, PAS Ulama Council Information Chief Muhammad Nur Hamza said that the party has been facing public backlash over this issue since they are part of the federal government. They called for stern action to be taken by shutting down the manufacturing of timah in order to prevent a precedent of new liquor companies being established. They said the government must ensure all ads related to alcoholic drinks are monitored according to guidelines, and they called for authorities from different ministries to streamline enforcement measures. So all of this, of course, is taking place against the backdrop of Malaysia and where we find ourselves being a majority Muslim country, and therefore and also needing constantly in almost every interaction, any sort of public communication to balance sensitivities all round, of which alcohol is chief among them. You know, it has come up as a flashpoint many times over. I think you can count on one hand the amount of times there's been some form of controversy over the last, say, 2 to 3 years. So it's not a new issue as such. However, I think if we look at this particular instance, there are some things that we wanted to look at a bit more closely, I think. Chief among them, the meaning of words and religious associations, because truthfully, not being a Muslim person myself, so I can only speak from that point of view, when I see the word timah, the word that would come to mind instantly is actually BJ, because my assumption would be that we're talking about BJ timah.
Yes, and I think, this is also not even the first time words and the meaning of those words have gotten us into exactly these kinds of conversations, right? And I think it is being muddied here, particularly because it's related to alcohol, again, another touch point issue. And arguments are being conflated about the control of alcohol or the sale of alcohol and the brand. And those are actually two very different discussions, very different conversations. Mm. One arguably much more worth having than the other in some sense. And the problem is when they all get conflated like this, it very quickly sets off this sort of very ugly side of conversation here in Malaysia, where it becomes about communities and drawing lines and sensitivities instead of being able to sit down and have a rational conversation about what the issue is or whether there is an issue at all.
Yeah, and I think that we, and when I say we, I mean the media, are certainly a part of it, because of course, when we report things, there is a tendency, for whatever reason, to generalize, and then it becomes communities are saying, people are saying, and I think actually being able to understand how many people got confused by the name and the branding of this clearly alcoholic bottle, it is an important question to ask, because the Penang Mufti, Wan Salim Wan Mohamed Noor, has asked for the brand to consider changing its name to Captain Speedy and saying that, you know, most Muslims would not know the origins of the Timah brand and the man depicted on the label. And while I can understand that, I think that this goes also to this idea of Malaysian-ness, because of course, if you are creating a Malaysian product, the desire to have that Malaysian-ness as part of the story instead of naming it after an Englishman, for example, might be something that people would consider. So I think that there is this idea of trying to understand exactly who was confused by it and how we can have this conversation in a more constructive way. So all of which to say, we'd like to know, what do you make of the Timah controversy? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we're crossing over to Altaf Deviati, co-founder and director of Iman Research, to talk about the word, the associations that people have with it, as well as really this kind of overriding reaction and controversy surrounding it. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It is 6:15 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We are focused today on the controversy surrounding a local whiskey brand, where because of the name of their product, they've gotten into really the headlines, shall we say, and not in the way that I assume they would have liked. And so we have been asking you, what do you make of the Timah controversy? The brand has said that the alcohol was named because of its association with tin, with Malaysian history. Others, however, have seen religious connotations. So we've been asking you what you think. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And now to talk about this very issue, this idea of the word and what it means to people, we're crossing over to Altaf Deviati, co-founder and director of Iman Research. Altaf, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So let's start with the basics. What was your initial reaction to the use of the word Timah for a whiskey brand?
To be fair, my reaction is probably the same as you guys, and it's probably because of my background. So the first thing that came to my mind was whiskey Timah. And even the picture, because of the work that I do, we're so used to seeing those kind of pictures, and it's a very much of a colonial era of picture. So there was not, never did it occur that it was insinuating any sense of religious or even a local ethnic connotation. So it did take me by surprise of how it became, how it hit the headlines, as how you mentioned it. So that was, I guess in a way it also shows the polemic that this country is facing at this point in time.
What do you make of the reactions that have followed? Why do you think this has become such a heated debate?
Well, I guess it just can't run away, like I just mentioned, the polemic of the country. Religion and ethnicity is so intertwined with politics and so intertwined with how things have been pushed forward. For example, how politicians have been using it for years in positioning how the public should see things or should evaluate things. So one is definitely because religion and politics and ethnicity is so intertwined. Secondly, I also think following how the online uproar came about, and in particular, the major pushers of this notion that Timah whiskey is insinuating that it's religiously connotated, also comes from the divide between some political parties trying to out-Islamize each other. So this is, again, another big problem, because it's not really necessarily an issue that came from grassroots. That did an everyday layman person see it, and it gradually snowballed into an issue, or some group saw that as a chance to attack and use it, because then it's not a great ammunition to look at it in that sense. So this is another problematic thing, because then can we say that the how it has gone viral now really from the voices of the public that were really angry because they saw that as an attack on their faith? Or was it a group of people that ended up influencing the public and started to put those thoughts in? But however, having said that, I guess this is also a time that we'll, is it okay to be offended, and how to move forward once you are offended is actually also another thing that we need to discuss as a community, I would say. Yeah.
So if we if we look at the word itself, right, can you tell us more about the religious associations that could come up with the word Timah?
I think it's really a very simple connotation, because Timah is the short form of calling someone Fatima. So Fatima is the name of the daughter of Prophet Muhammad. So this is the connotation that people are tying it to, saying it's insulting. To use the name of Prophet Muhammad's daughter, which is also a very common name among Malay Muslims. And Timah is usually what we call for short. So there is a possibility, and I'm not going to downplay that, that there would be some people that might really do think that this is a short form of Fatima. And didn't even occur that Timah might come from Bibi Timah, that's highly unlikely as well. So the best scenario would be somebody might just be confused. Is it Timah? Is it Timah or is it Timah Fatima? So that's where the connotation or the association comes from. But then Malay Muslims do not have the monopoly of the name Fatima either, because other Christian communities also have Fatima as a maybe not as common, but still a name that is within that community as well.
So to extend that point exactly about the usage of words and meanings, there is that common association of Timah with tin. And that's what the company has also said, right? What does it mean when words that have these sorts of alternate meanings then get called into question?
I mean, one other thing that I wanted to highlight, Timah is also the Malay word for tin. And a company using a Malay word to brand its product. In this case, it was a product that is seen by non-Muslims as something that is not allowed. So then the question comes, when are we allowed to use words that are Malay or Malaysian words for work or for life? Does that all have to be tied down to certain sensitivities? Then it's a very restrictive way of looking at Bahasa Malaysia. That's one. Second, I guess, I think everybody has a right to be offended. We can't deny that. And in this context, because there's so much associations that can be made from it, I guess what we need to look at is, okay, fine, people are offended, but how do we stop politicizing it? And politicians have to stop hijacking it. And that's, I think, more crucial in this context. The community can work its way out in trying to find a way out of it. But politicizing it and trying to get in more legislation and laws, I think that's going down a very dangerous path.
Now, I think part of the issue here is also that there is an inherent stigma, particularly for the Muslim community, around discussing anything related to alcohol. So how can we therefore have constructive conversations around issues like alcohol, like advertising, while also navigating and acknowledging the sensitivity around the topic?
this is actually a tough one, and I would say it's tough because of where we are in today, because of how the polemic has evolved over the years. But it's definitely a question, I mean, something that we need to constructively converse as a community more. And it has to be less politically driven. At this point in time, what I'm noticing that a lot of the civil society groups that are pushing for more government control is really, this is unhealthy, and it will actually create more mess and chaos later on. You cannot regulate, and there's a limit to what one can, and sensitivity can't really be regulated. It's such a subjective matter. Yes, the Malaysian Malay Muslim community is offended. Fine, then how do we move forward? And this is where I think a lot of big religious civil society should step in and think that let's talk about this in a very rational, mature way, not by threat and by demanding more legislation that will in the end make matters worse later on. I mean, to deregulate something is a lot more difficult than putting in a regulation. And the implications of that would be far wider, specifically for something so subjective like sensitivity.
Now, let's look at it from the other side of the coin, as it were, right? We have seen headlines that are similar to this in the past. There have been remarks from leaders about placing increasing curbs on alcohol sale, alcohol consumption. How do these sorts of limits fit into Malaysia's multicultural society?
I think when it comes to issues that are so-called sensitive, I mean, this example is alcohol, we become less objective in how to address it. At one point, the issues of alcohol can also come under a health and safety issue, and that should be looked through that lens. For instance, like if you recall, there was this huge uproar because of drunk driving, I think it was last year or year before, and it became issues of the alcohol itself instead of looking at regulation, having better health and safety regulations and enforcing that even more because of the issues. Because of the topic. Because the topic is alcohol. Alcohol, we tend to get intertwined with religion. So, but at the same time, because of how conservative Malaysia is to a certain extent, you can't necessarily run away with it. So we do need to be aware of addressing it, but we also need to break it down. However, at this point in time, everything is just convoluted into halal haram or Malay sensitivity, which you're not addressing the real issues. And I think, to be honest, it's not necessarily because the public cannot handle this. It's nothing to do with that. I think the public are definitely mature enough and they can. It's because we've got to take it out of the politicization of it and look at it from key issues, either from a health and safety issue or so forth. But again, this would mean we need community leaders to come up and speak. Unfortunately, this is something we are not seeing. And this is also a question mark that I just had this discussion last night. Where are the community leaders here? Because they're the key ones. And when I say community leaders, it's not politicians. No offense in any way, but everybody has a role to play. And for this area, it's the community leaders that need to go to play, because they're the ones that can actually maybe navigate and calm situations down without inflaming and without pushing certain rhetoric that would probably be seen differently if it was from a political angle, so to say.
Yeah. Aldaf, thank you so much for speaking with us this evening.
Thank you for having me.
That was Altaf Deviati, co-founder and director of Iman Research, weighing in on the controversy surrounding Timah, or Timah whiskey, which some people have seen a religious connotation with. Others, including the company, are saying that it is merely the word for tin that they intended. And we've been asking you for your thoughts on this. What do you make of it? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. a ridiculous amount of messages has been coming in. I think we have time for a couple before we head to the news.
So we have Magdalene, I think, just replying to our question, what comes to mind when we say Thima? And Magdalene just says tin mine, which I think many people would fall on the side of. We also have Rajan, who says, not good for Malaysians. However, the approvals were given by government bodies. Local authorities must have common sense.
So I think this is the thing for me, right? When it comes to common sense and sensitivities, I think I don't know whether this could have been anticipated. And I think we come back to this point of not knowing where the controversy stemmed from, whether or not it was 50 people who came across the bottle and all at once collectively realized, this is offensive, I have a real issue with this. Or whether it was certain parties taking offense and then it getting increasingly blown up. And so in that context, I don't know if an individual, even one with common sense at a local government level, looking at it, giving approval, would have said, hey, this one's going to get us into so much trouble.
Increasingly blown up. And I think in some sense, the conversation happening on an unequal level. Because once you heighten it to this extent, it's very difficult for you to have a rational conversation.
And that's something I want to come back to. But in the meantime, we're talking today about a local brand, a local whiskey brand, Thima, landing in controversy over the name of their product. And we've been asking you, what do you make of this controversy? Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back for more of your messages after the news, as well as a look at how it is, therefore, that brands and advertising can actually navigate Malaysia's culture and our cultural sensitivities. So that's in the second half of the show. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:38 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We are focused today on Thima, a local whiskey brand that landed in some controversy recently over the name of their product, with the company saying that they were focusing on tin and, you know, Malaysian history, and other parties pointing out that they see a religious connotation to the name instead, seeing it as a shortening of Fatima, the name of the Prophet's wife. So we've been asking you for your thoughts on this. We are just about to look into marketing and marketing things like alcohol, considering the sensitivity of the Malaysian market. But first, we have so many messages.
So we have, let's see, Patrick saying, alcohol beverages branding and packaging in Malaysia has been heavily scrutinised before the licence is issued. This controversy may signal a need to review the existing standard, since our society is more sensitive than ever. The fact that Thima put Malaysia on the map among world quality whiskey producers might be the cause of the outpour.
Perhaps so. There is that possibility. I mean, the winning of awards actually is something that is coming up in a number of messages, with some including Sudarsan as well as Vinian, basically saying that, well, you know, since they're doing well, perhaps they're just going to take it overseas, and pointing out that in some ways this is what might result in people leaving the country, right? And I think that that is definitely something that comes up quite a bit when it comes to issues of brain drain and the like. We do also have a call earlier from Anwar, who says, it's all about individual interpretation. If the company has their own interpretation, they should inform the public what they mean, because any other interpretation may offend. But since they have their own reason for it, we should accept it. They must have had a reason in choosing the name. And Anwar, I think that that's such an interesting point, because I wish we were at the point where we could talk about it, but I don't think we can. And that comes down to the word that we keep using, which is sensitivity, and how sometimes I think that that gets used as a, I don't want to talk about it, and I'm allowed to just shut this conversation down in its entirety. So while the company has already come out with their explanation, it clearly hasn't been enough. And I think that that speaks perhaps to where we are culturally at the moment, where it's very difficult to hear these things out There's just too much stigma surrounding it.
There's no assumption of good faith, basically. There's always the assumption that there is an intent when there might not be.
We do also have...
Sorry.
We do also have other messages. Yes. We have other messages that are coming in, including... Okay, so I think that we do have mostly messages, you know, saying that this is an overblown issue. But we do also have Siti, who called earlier to say, they should have been sensitive, the manufacturers, to the Muslim community. The first thing I thought of when I see Timah is the short form of Fatima. It's too much of a coincidence. Also, why must the man look like a religious man? Why not put the factory owner's picture? Why release this so close to the Prophet Muhammad's birthday? As we know, the public holiday for that was yesterday. Why not use some other name? Why name it after Timah? Why not Gita, since we produce Gita?
Well, I mean, those, I think... just about covers a lot of the criticism that has come about of the brand, right? And I think that's exactly what we're trying to unpack. Is this representative of a sort of a majority sentiment? And that's something I am curious about.
Yes. So keep those thoughts coming. What do you make of this controversy surrounding Timah? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And now to look at this issue of marketing products like alcohol in Malaysia, considering the cultural sensitivity that we are seeing and talking about, we are crossing over to Alvin Teo, Chief Creative Officer at Naga DDB Tribal. Alvin, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
So what are your initial impressions on this controversy?
I had so many impressions, and I've been reading up a little bit about it. I think the first thing, right, I'm going to speak as an ad person, but also as a Malaysian, and also as a human being, and also as a father, right? I'm going to cover all these bases, right? I think the first thing that I realized that the word Timah is actually very beautiful, because there is a resurgence for the love of Bahasa among the English-speaking people. I don't know if we realize that. And I realized that Bahasa is a very beautiful language, because it carries meaning and feelings and romanticism that sometimes cannot be reinterpreted back into English or any other language. Every language has a beauty of its own, right? So when I first saw the word Timah, right, I thought it was beautiful, because it's about tin, and when you use some. Your local or colloquial language, right, there's a particular soul and character to it that's just very beautiful. For lack of a better explanation, it's romanticism. I think it's very beautiful, right? And then the whole controversial thing blew up. I think the first question I would ask is, was it deliberate? Were they deliberately targeting a certain community that might be offended by it? I don't think any marketeer in their right mind would purposely offend people. They might be insensitive, they might be careless, they might, you know, something's missing in their thought or whatever, but I don't think it's deliberate. So I always look at the intent before I decide how to react. And then the second thing, right, the second question I was thinking about, right, or the issue that I was thinking about, like, who found this offensive? And are their complaints within reason, within logic? And that's a very tough question to answer, because reason and logic depends on the person that's giving you the reason and logic, right? So as a marketeer, as an ad agency in a multicultural, multi-religious society, right, sometimes we feel like we're walking on eggshells. And it is an era of social media where every individual is their own media platform and has a voice and can create a ripple, and ripple can become a tsunami. Sometimes we feel that as marketeers, we are afraid. Because sometimes there's no one wants to intentionally offend people, but sometimes we never know who we offend. So it pays to be extra, extra sensitive. But herein lies the gray area, right? Like, how sensitive should you be? Because let's say if you take a very hypersensitive person, right, there's no end to how offensive things might be. Anything can be offensive. So where do you draw the line? So there's all these questions that we deal with on a daily basis in a multicultural society. That's why ad land is such an adventure land. You never know who you would please and who you offend, right? But I think for me, right, I don't think it was deliberate. I think that we can learn some lessons from it. And I still think it's a beautiful name. I don't think it's meant to be representing Fatima or the Prophet's wife. I hope not, because that wouldn't be nice. It's not respectful. But the word Timah for mine, and linking it back to Captain Speedy, whom I just founded Typing. And I found out so many things about our history that I never knew thanks to this issue. And I found the story so romantic and so adventurous, and it's a missing part of our history. It's so beautiful. That's for me, but I only can speak for myself, right? I don't represent the masses out there, but I think, yeah, that's my take on it for your first question. Yeah.
So let's hone in on the, I suppose, the point of contention here, right? When it comes to marketing alcohol here in Malaysia, what are the considerations and guidelines that need to be followed?
Okay, number one, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that you do not speak to the Muslim community. You have to respect it, right? So it's about using your own assets, a digital assets, or analog assets or whatever, right? Just looking at places that Muslims don't go to. So like your own assets could be your Instagram page, your social media pages and all that kind of stuff, or places where you can advertise alcohol, like coffee shops, pubs, bars, places like that. And supermarkets, they have a section for alcohol, right? So it's just doing your marketing within those premises that you're allowed to express what your ads are and do your marketing. Make sure that it's not in a public space where everybody is at. So I think in this day and age also, thanks to the internet and everything, we can do very targeted stuff. We can target communities and make sure that we don't go outside of those communities that we want to speak to. So we just keep within those realms. Another thing is also language. Obviously, if you do not want to target Muslims, and you're not supposed to target Muslims or Malays anyway, right, Bahasa-speaking people, then you avoid writing anything in Bahasa, and you try not to use Malay names or any names that sound like Malay, just in case it's misunderstood. So that's basically the general guide that we have when we're doing alcohol advertising.
So what are the challenges involved in creating campaigns for alcohol brands here, right? How do you balance the cultural considerations and guidelines you just spoke about with representing the brand and creating a campaign that is interesting?
I think every brand wants to be unique, and every brand wants to be bold, and they want to stand out, and they want to relate to people, right? I think the challenge is, how do you create something bold and wonderful and meaningful for your intended target market without going all over the place? And I think most marketeers, right, they have most people that I know of anyway, they have a plan B. In case, despite of all the safety measures that you've taken and all the considerations you've taken, in case the thing still gets blown out of proportion, how do you deal with the PR nightmare? So some brands and marketers, they actually prepare themselves for these kinds of misunderstanding or things that have been blown out of the water, so to speak, right? So I think, to be very frank, it's not very challenging. I won't say the challenges are crazy because you know where the parameters are. You just operate within the parameters to the best of your ability. And things should be okay. Yeah. So don't step out of the boundaries, yeah.
So if we sorry, go on.
Okay, sorry. But then again, back to the first statement that I made, right, is that even if you kept within the boundaries, right, to some communities, right, the boundaries are never enough. Some people will see, they will still see a problem even if you stayed on your lane. So those are hopefully it's a minority, And I hope that people of logic and reason would be able to have a dialogue or discuss or to solve it, and instead of going into anger or, mass protests and all that kind of stuff over issues that can be resolved through dialogue, for example. So, yeah.
Now, if we were to take it back a couple of steps, in general, what are ad agencies doing in terms of stress testing campaigns before they're fully launched so as to account for the fact that they are going out to a diverse audience? What is that process like?
Okay, stress testing, right? That's a difficult question to answer because there are so many different brands and so many different products that we're marketing and so many different communities out there because we're the multi-religious society, multi-ethnic society, right? I think, like we talk about alcohol, right? You can't stress test this to a Muslim community, obviously, right? You're not supposed to speak to them. But you have advisors who understand these things to look at your marketing or your ads or whatever, right? Or naming or designing a product. People who are well-versed in all these things and they could advise you. So I think most marketers also have, they have like, I don't know if there's a terminology for that, but somebody who understands Muslim sentiments or Malay sentiments to see whether it's offensive, or even like, you know, Indian sentiments or Chinese sentiments or whatever you call it. There are people who actually understand the length and breadth of these things and how deep these problems can, you know, how deep problems can arise if you're not careful. And they will advise you. Basically, it's that. Yeah. Just getting somebody who understands how society or different segments of society respond to certain things, and they could advise you. So I think it's important for us to have those kinds of connections with those people who can advise any marketer, any brands before they put anything out there. Yeah.
How do you see the headlines around Timah affecting future campaigns or international brands who might be considering entering the Malaysian market, if at all?
Oh, that's another very tough question. I'm not sure what the headlines can be, but I think there is a rise of empathy and sensitivity going around the planet. Some people call it, you know, they just generally park it under this thing called woke, which is this big grey thing, which is a whole different topic. There's a lot of sensitivity going on around the planet right now in terms of marketing, because a lot of markets see themselves as global, and they're going to little villages scattered throughout the world, and same thing as a global market, right? They are very sensitive over these things. Like, even you look at things like how, is it Dua Lipa? The story, remember, where the terms of endearment for a dad is Barbie? Yeah, I mean, we live in a global village. There are things that you might not realize that are sensitive to certain people, and you don't go in blindly. So I think it's just being aware of the market you're heading into, just to double check whether anything that is sensitive. But at the same time, you know what? I see this as an opportunity for dialogue. Also, I'll give you an example as a dad, right? I spoke as an ad guy, as a marketer, whatever. Now I speak to you as a dad. I am Catholic. There are a lot of problems. We live in an age where faithlessness is the new religion. You know, agnostic and atheism is on the rise. And the Catholic Church have not been, you know, we have scandals. We have all this bad stuff happening. And my kids, being raised in a particular faith, are exposed to all kinds of things that challenge to the things they believe in. I can't protect them. I can't dictate to them what to believe, but I have dialogue with them. I'll talk to them about scandals. I'll talk to them about ideologies that is opposing my ideology and my beliefs, right? I do not condemn anything. I have dialogue because at the end of the day, right, I want my kids to be able to go out to the world and have an opinion of their own and having a balanced point of view about all sorts of things, even in opposing views, right? And that's an opportunity, like this whole Tima issue, right? If a certain community sees alcohol as evil, and there's certain truth there, obviously, right? Alcoholism, abuse, domestic violence, blah, blah, blah. Spending lots of money on it and all addiction. Of course, there's a bad part to alcoholism, right? Let's talk about it. Let's educate. Let's have people think about things. You know, I think it's an opportunity for us to grow and to open our minds and to have different points of view so that we are able, armed with all this knowledge, we can make better decisions, a more well-balanced decision. Instead of always telling people what to believe and, you know, and stuff like that, I don't think it's very healthy as a society as we're trying to progress. So I think the whole lesson for Tima is like, let's talk about it. Let's have a dialogue. You know, it's an opportunity for us to learn and to grow, not just as marketeers or ad people, but as a society, right? As families, as individuals in this collective called Malaysia, right? Let's talk about it. And, you know, and the other lesson is just, being in a multicultural society, let's be sensitive and empathetic and be open to how other people's beliefs are, what are other worldviews. It all leads to this beautiful place called dialogue and learning from each other and progressing. I think it's not just an ad question, it's a society question also. A great opportunity has been presented to us. Let's not turn it into a curse. That's my opinion. Yeah.
Alvin, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
No problem. My pleasure.
That was Alvin Teo, Chief Creative Officer at Naga DDB Tribal, talking to us about the branding and marketing side, and in some ways the philosophical side of, well, you know, looking at alcoholic products and the way it is that they are communicated to the public who can consume them. So we've been asking you for your thoughts. What do you make of this story surrounding Timah? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back for your messages after this. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.